Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is IBM Session Manager for COS Best Practices for Monitoring and Configuring Storage Usage. Today's presenter is Bill Bolfin. Bill provides Level 2 worldwide remote technical support for the Kix Tools portfolio of products. Bill has provided Level 2 support for Kix Tools portfolio since their introduction into the marketplace. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Bill.
Thank you, Joseph. Go ahead and advance to the first slide, which is today's agenda. What we'll do is have a brief introduction to the Session Manager product and the environment we'll discuss today regarding storage. We'll look at some of the types of problems that you may observe during periods of insufficient storage in the Session Manager. Then we'll look at how you can plan for your storage needs and hopefully avoid running low on storage. We'll look at some of the methods for monitoring the usage of storage in the Session Manager and when you should do some monitoring proactively for the storage. And then we'll look at some of the diagnostics you should collect in the event of a storage shortage, and then we'll summarize what we've discussed. Let's go to slide 3. The IBM Session Manager runs on the U.S. operating system. It provides session management for both VTAM and TCP TN3270 type sessions coming in. A very easy to use Session Manager system. It also lets you determine if you want to have high levels of availability by letting you run multiple instances of the Session Manager. And then you can have one that's a standby and a controller and a primary, and if you have to apply maintenance, you can switch between them. Go to slide 4, please. So here's just a small graphical example environment. What's new here from previous releases, actually we've had a Session Manager 1.0, a 1.1, a 1.2, a 1.3, version 2.1, 2.2, and 3.0. 2.2 and 3.0 are our current supported session managers. And all along the way, new function has been introduced into the product based on user marketing requirements. So there's many options available. Some of those can affect how the storage is utilized within the session manager. In the upper left-hand corner, you can see it says Eclipse users. That was new added in version 3 of the product, and that allows primarily like for an operations group to go in and monitor the performance, storage utilization, users, sessions, et cetera, being used in the session manager environment. It currently doesn't let you do like a system programmer task, so you're not going to be doing online administration using the Eclipse environment as it stands right now as a plug-in to the Kix Explorer, but it is available for operators to monitor the environment. So users can come in through a VTAM network. They can come in through the TCP/IP network. The session manager itself also has its own telnet server. So if you didn't want to come in through the traditional port 23 through ZOS, TCP/IP, you could come in through TCP/IP and come into your own port on the session manager itself. You see, between the two session manager instances, there's a coupling facility. This is an optional piece where you can use some exploitation in the sysplex. So you can have your logs for the session manager all coming together into a single view that's managed out of the coupling facility structure and a log stream. You can access Unix applications, your CICSs, TSO, IMS, etc. Can you advance to slide 5, please? So we'll look at some of the types of problems that you may experience if you run low on storage within the session manager address space. Typically, these problems are high severity. Usually from the support side, if you've been running along just fine and now users can no longer log into the system, they'll get an X system, and your operations will start to get calls. So users that have been previously disconnected from the session manager who attempt to reconnect will also see an X system trying to come back in. Users that are currently logged into the session manager and attempt to start a fourth session. For example, they want to go into TSO or CICS or IMS. They may also get an X system and hang up trying to do a forward session. At the same time, other users that are in may actually be able to start a forward session because it depends on how close you are to running low on storage, so that some users might say they're fine, other users might experience that they're hung up and they'll call in. You may also see some application response time issues. Some users might be doing okay. Someone else may start go into a TSO session and try to maybe escape out, and they'll see it not respond. Operations for the ZOS group might start to notice an increase in CPU utilization for the ISM address space. There might be various error messages that will come out in the JES message log or the auto log for the address space. We'll talk about more of those later as far as monitoring for those. And something that usually always gets the attention is you may even have the address space abend with an 878 or an 808 type abend. There may also be other symptoms you'll experience, but these are the primary ones that are usually reported to us in service. So let's go to slide 6, please. When storage problems occur, usually when we are discussing the environment with a customer, these types of storage shortages can occur, and these are where we've seen it so far, is if you are adding new application sessions to the environment that were not there before. So if it's been up and running, you may have been close on storage but never experienced any problems whatsoever until you actually added a new set of apples to the environment. Also, when adding new users that were not previously participating. If you add or update any start scripts, init scripts, environment scripts, et cetera, to the environment they were not yet running before, certain updates or modifications to the VTAM or TCP/IP configuration can affect some of the storage. Adding or updating some of these session manager exit routines can certainly have an effect on the amount of storage utilized. Other types is when you apply session manager maintenance or ZOS or TCP, IP, or VTAM maintenance into the environment that perhaps introduces a new function or affects the environment. Let's go to slide 7, please. Other places that we've seen it is users that make a decision to convert from a classic to an online administration environment. Upgrading session manager releases themselves, which now you have access to new capability, new function, and you may need to increase the amount of storage you have planned to use. At some points when you are deploying new session manager security features, you may decide you want to start using dynamic menus. You may decide you want to use passphrases or pass tickets, something that you had not maybe used in the past but you're now going to deploy, and those can affect the amount of storage you may need to run the address space. Other features that you might deploy are like the record and replay feature. These are can be very storage intensive depending on how much you allow users to record of their screens. Whether another thing is pushing and pulling of those screens. If the session manager address space is up over many months, you can certainly start to see some fragmentation that may or may not occur, and those situations have to be usually diagnosed so we can understand if it's normal or something we can do anything about. Using the broadcast facility to broadcast large numbers of users, so if you have 10 or 20,000 users in an environment broadcast, depending on how the broadcast receive is implemented for users can affect how much, a big, very large burst of storage usage. Go to slide 8, please. So the next set of slides are just a lot of it is for reference for your benefit, is just on how certain functions work in allocating storage and what you should be aware of. So things like with broadcast, depending on what the B receive is set up for, is to whether or not they're backed up. So if you send out multiple broadcasts and the user is not receiving them all, that those broadcasts do have to occupy storage, and you may want to determine if you're going to allow users to do that or not. Let's go to slide 9, please. Same with the record and replay. Here's just some information about how much storage is used there, so you can decide if all users need access to this, only if certain users do based on their job role, et cetera, but it does utilize certain storage. Let's go to slide 10. Same thing with the push-pull. You have an option with like a push limits. You can restrict how many saved screens users can have and how much storage that will require. Let's go to slide 11, please. Another thing that we've seen at some point in time, and this may or may not matter, is the use of defining too many global variables that may or may not always be utilized. And if you have a lot of scripts defining these things, these variables have a global scope and they will sit in storage and occupy. It's not just the variable itself. There's a session manager has to create arrays and table references to these things, so they actually acquire a little bit more storage than just the variable name itself. So if you don't need them, make sure you clean up or remove those scripts, et cetera, that are using those. Let's go to slide 12, please. So I want to look at some of the storage manager messages. The reason I want to highlight these today is in many situations where someone has either found the symptoms of a storage shortage, where the users couldn't log on, or they were hung up, or they couldn't start a forward session, they'll call in, open a PMR, and typically the first thing we're going to ask for is at least get us the audit log for the session manager so we can just get an idea of what was perhaps going on at the time. And oftentimes we'll find throughout the log various storage messages that either the system programming or operations staff were not aware were going to be issued, didn't realize that they had a storage charge going on for sometimes maybe a day or two without realizing it until the impact occurred. So let's go to slide 13 and we'll look at some of these. So the primary one that users would see themselves would be an IS0577I, short on storage condition detected. Another nice thing about this is there's a variable called T_SOS_MSG. In like the default sign-on panel that's provided by Session Manager, what will happen is that variable will be null if you're not short on storage. But down in the message and command line area, if, in fact, a storage shortage is detected, anyone who is trying to sign into the system would actually now see a message because that variable would be resolved telling them that the system is short on storage. That may either stop people from flooding calls to the operations or help desk at the site, or it'll at least initiate immediately. Instead of someone just getting a X system and not being sure what's going on and then disconnecting their 3270 emulation, which also drives VTAM traffic and CPU conditions, because that's a common thing people will do. They'll think, well, maybe I'll just disconnect my 3270 emulator and reconnect it, and maybe that's what the problem was. So this is a nice way to just tell people right up front that it's a storage situation, and it can be alerted appropriately. Let's go to slide 14, please. The next set of messages that we'll see here are the thresholding messages, which are set up with the GetMain FreeMain storage service. The default for this one, so this says that we are at a critical threshold. And at this point in time, the session manager itself is smart enough to be monitoring these when it's going to put these messages out. And it is, in fact, going to inhibit new sign-ons. It's going to inhibit tracing that may be active. It's going to inhibit any command processing for the configuration to occur, because all those things actually require more storage. And until the threshold drops back below that critical place, no one will be able to go ahead and log in or do much else. Default for a critical threshold is 95% of the storage limit allocated to the session manager. In the GFS parameter of the option statement, you can change the thresholding values yourself. So if you wanted to lower those in your environment because the warning is at 85%, the severe is at 90%, and the critical is at 95%, you can allow the defaults to occur or change those as appropriate. Let's look at slide 15, please. Another error you might get as an operator or a system programmer is that your commands are being rejected due to short on storage. So if you were going to do a P update or an update command or even another query, you might get a response back telling you you've got a storage shortage. Let's go to slide 16, please. The 585i message will also come out in the auto log that are just saying that logins are temporarily suspended due to a storage shortage situation when the severe threshold has been hit. And again, this just is going to be in the auto log. Let's go to slide 17, please. Another message, this IS0783W warning, is about a system queue exceeds warning threshold. We've seen a number of these types of PMRs come in where there's a storage shortage that has occurred over time, and you see at the bottom here there's a tech note 1254727 referenced, and that one, that tech note applies to Tivoli Omegamon, which set up with an automatic refresh on their screen, which was driving a lot of storage, but it's not the situation can occur, and we've seen it not only with Tivoli Omegamon monitoring product, but any typical type of monitoring tool where you can set up or configure a screen to be automatically refreshing itself at a very high rate. It can drive storage, and this type of a message tracked to that particular session will come out. And then you can decide if you need to continue to do that or not. Also in this tech note, we tell you about some things you could do with a script that could help relieve that storage usage. Let's go to slide 18, please. Another error you might see is insufficient storage when you're trying to build a panel or a script out to a particular user. Some applications will drive multiple panels to prompt the user, and they can't even acquire storage to do those. Let's go to slide 19. Another one, and this should be very rare, but there are some sites out there where IBM Service has supplied users with a submap set of definitions. These submaps are not documented in the Session Manager product documentation, and the reason for that is that they're designed for a general purpose environment, and they've been tuned for a general purpose environment, and basically the development group has decided not to expose these to the general population because they would have, the product is not designed to allow users to start managing all these storage submaps on their own. Having said that, in certain situations at different sites where storage shortages continue to occur after increasing the storage limit and max store in the environments and making any other recommended changes, if we still run short of storage, the change team and development group have examined dumps and gone in and have come back with some recommendations to perhaps change some of these submap allocations. Those are in the option statement, and Session Manager will initialize with those new values. We have seen if someone now sees how to specify these values and starts to modify them, you may have the Session Manager not even initialize if these SMAP definitions are incorrect. It says that the defaults will be used, but depending on how incorrectly they were used, it may not initialize with all the function and feature that you specified in the rest of your configuration. So let's go to slide 20, please. The next set of three messages, unable to get or free storage, these typically can occur based on certain functions that are done in the Session Manager exit routines. We have also seen them with some of the online administration or batch administration functions that are running at the time. All of those are going to be storage intensive for a period of time, and depending on what actually is occurring, certain error codes or return codes can be returned to the user telling you what the storage shortage was. And then if they're not explanatory in themselves, sometimes you'll have to contact us and we'll have to see what we can do to either address the issue or not. Let's go to slide 21, please. This just is showing you the messages that give you the details of particular storage area for one of those return codes. Let's go to slide 22. This is another one that is rare to see, but if we are trying to capture an admin situation, we have to obtain SDWA area, and if we're limited on storage, we can't even obtain that, so we can't get the SDWA information. So you can monitor for that message as well. Let's advance to slide 23, please. Here are some error and SVC 99 dynamic allocation errors that are related to storage. There are many different error codes that can come out based on some of the built-in functions you can call, but these are the primary ones that are related to storage situations. So the first one is a 20 that just basically says we can't open another VTIM ACB for an application due to a storage shortage. So if you see one of those, that could be why a particular session won't start. For a dynamic allocation, that could be that you wanted to switch logs or trace files and you're using generation data groups, and the operating system didn't have enough storage to dynamically allocate another GDG. Let's take a look at slide 24. Now we'll discuss some of the things you can do to plan storage for your environment. In the slides that follow, there'll be a lot of detail, and I just pulled them out here for reference, but we'll see that there's really a nice little tool called the storage calculator that we'll focus on in the next few slides. So let's go to slide 25, please. One of the first things you want to do is when you start your session manager, either as a job or start a task, is you want to have 0 meg coded on the execute statement. so that the session manager can actually try to obtain the storage requested on the storage limit. Let's go to slide 26. The GetMain FreeMain storage service. This is I've never encountered a site yet that is not using it. It defaults to being on, but it can be turned off. The default is 10 meg for the storage limit. As we supply the example configuration for session managers at 72 meg, but we have found that for any significantly large session manager sites, typically we'll see anywhere in the 200 to 500 to 800 meg range, depending on how you've calculated the amount of storage you have to use. But definitely we have not found many that can run with the 72 meg as supplied. And typically those will come in as it had been working, and now that a bunch of users have been converted over, they start to see some storage issues. Let's go to slide 27, please. The GFS store limit option. So this is on the option statement for the configuration. And this is where you will specify the value that will be done as one large get main by the session manager. Let's go to slide 28, please. Another operand, if you are not storage restricted in your environment, and certainly a good number of sites, that's not an issue as much as it was only a few years ago. There's a parameter called max store, and you can set that to yes or no. And what that will effectively do is it will reduce the possibility of getting storage fragmented. So if you are going to leave your session manager up for months at a time, it may very well be worth, and you've got the virtual storage, is running with max store, yes. It'll have a lesser impact on CPU over months of session manager operation and on fragmentation. Look at slide 29, please. Another parameter that was added, I believe was added in 2.2 by a maintenance, and it's in the 3.1 basis, this drop session parameter. For users that are using like the E22 exit for dynamic menus, this is where the use of a security manager determines what sessions will be presented to a user when they signed on to the session manager system. The ones that they're not authorized to will not be presented to them on their menu. However, at certain sites what happened was is there were hundreds or thousands of sessions that were configured for the users, but they were only authorized to see certain ones. However, in the background, there was still storage representing those sessions in the session manager address space. This drop session option, if you set it to yes, it will basically free up that storage so for users that were not authorized to see those sessions on their menu in the first place. And depending on how many dynamic sessions would have been presented, this can save a significant amount of storage because it's on a per-user basis. So if you had thousands of users and there were several hundred sessions they were not allowed to see each, this could certainly give back a great deal of storage to the system. Let's go to slide 30, please. So now we'll look at how you determine how much storage you need. The slides I pulled out here are also in the installation and customization guide and are just a general guideline. So let's go ahead and take a look at slide 31. And I'm not going to read through these right now. You can do that in your own time, but this is just telling you, actually I may refer to some of it. When people are using the shared sessions or shared user IDs, you do need to count those as individual users, even though they're sharing. And you're going to come up with input to the storage calculation tool. Let's go to slide 32 and slide 33 and slide 34. And this is really going to take, from what we just looked at in those last slides, it just tells you what input to gather. But if you type in store calc within the session manager command line, it will ask you for input of all this information. So how many users or terminals are going to be used, the number of VTAM ACBs which are going to be open, and those will vary depending on if there are parallel session ACBs or if, like an example of CICS or IMS, where you need to provide a range of ACBs per every user session coming in. You'll have to determine that within your environment, how many ACBs you'll actually need, how many sessions will be running with the miser option. The miser is a is a minimizer. Basically, we'll keep a copy of the read buffer terminal in memory so that we're only doing changes to the read modified that come in. So that definitely reduces impact on the network because we're not shipping all of these bytes back and forth all the time, just a minimal number. But it does have an impact on the session manager address space in that if many, many, many of the applications are running under MISR, that has to be backed by storage in the address space. So you determine, based on the applications, which you want to run with MISR, which the number of sessions that will be running without MISR, if you're going to be running any traces. So let's say you've got a new panel or a new start script that you've been working on for one or more applications, and you're just going to be tracing those as you experiment with them. So the number of traces you run concurrently would be input to this. And then the general size of your configuration. So after you start the session manager address space, if you just issued a query store command, it'll come back and tell you how much storage is currently allocated, and that represents what you configured for your site, for your particular environment. Now, once you have all this input, let's go to slide 35, please. You would type this information in on the storage calc application, and it will come back and tell you and compute the, based on GFS yes and MaxStore yes or no, what your storage limit size would be for the region. So in this case, you can see like at the bottom, if MaxStore was set to yes, the storage is effectively doubled from 48 meg to 96 meg for this environment. And tells you, or you input the number of ACBs, the number of sessions with MISR yes and no, traces, etc., terminals, it will do the math for you and compute the amount of storage. So this is a great way if you're getting ready to deploy this versus what some sites have done, which is go through the book and try to do it manually and maybe not get an exact number. So let's take a look at slide 36. The next couple of slides are just some examples so you can see how storage is calculated. These are fairly small, so yours will probably be much larger for a production site, but let's go to slide 37, please. So in this case, we're looking at a session manager instance with 100 users, and they're only going to have 4 sessions each, and this is the example of how it would compute out. And then at the bottom with max store yes or no, you'd either have a 16 meg store limit or a 32 meg with max store yes. Let's go to slide 38, please. Here's another example. This one has 50 users with 2 sessions active each, and you can see that the storage is very minimal, 14 meg with max store set to no and 28 meg with max store set to yes. Let's go to slide 39, please. This is probably where you'll spend most of your time if you want to do your best to either avoid a storage shortage problem or be able to respond or react as quickly as you can to resolve the storage situation as we look at how to monitor the storage. So let's go to slide 40. One of the things that is very helpful to us in service and to the change team specifically is to, during your peak periods, is to set up some automation to issue a subset of commands using MVS Modify to query the storage pools that are running within the session manager instance. And what this basically does is it's just going to leave a footprint in the JES message log for the session manager so that if you've been up for weeks or months at a time and you do experience some type of a storage shortage situation, and we ask you to send in the complete job log with the audit log and everything else, having these messages embedded in there at 15-minute increments, and you can decide on this depending on if you want to do it at 30 or on the hour, it just gives us a method of understanding, was there a burst in storage activity? Did something happen at a certain amount of time? And the more granular we see a set of storage usage for the pools throughout the log, the easier it is for us to pinpoint where a problem may or may not have shown up. We might see that things have been running long for weeks, and then all of a sudden we had a shortage. And what we noticed in the log is certain sessions were starting that had a new init or start script. And that would help us focus in on those, see if maybe there was a looping problem in there or something that was creating too many even local scope variables in a script. Having said that, these are just an example of what the messages would come out to be. So let's go take a look at slide 41. So this is the beginning of what a query stats is. It didn't all fit on the slide. So let's go to 42. And this will just show the number, this is a continuation of the query stats, the number of terminal inputs and outputs and sessions and bytes, number of ACBs opened. So you can see things in there. It says now and max and the date and time. And that's also very helpful to us when we're seeing what's been going on in the address space for a while. Same with the number of terminal receives, and we even show you in certain byte ranges based on the amount of data receiving, because that data going in and out of those receive RPLs also occupies a certain amount of storage. Let's go to slide 43. And this last part of the query stats will also show us the sessions with MISR and how our compression is working and the number of bytes going in and out. Oftentimes, we will ask on a storage problem, has anyone been issuing these messages, or can you do it right now if you're still in the situation and you have not recycled the address space? But having these embedded throughout is very helpful. Let's go to slide 44, please. The GFS stats, usage, and store commands, these are through a panel, so they're not available through the MBS modify command, but these are ones you definitely want to issue whenever you're prior to making a change or just during peak periods on a, you know, every once in a while, specifically the GFS usage, and we'll see some examples of these on the next panels. These are the ones where you want to really get a good understanding of your storage. Let's go to slide 45, please. I mentioned this earlier, this T_SOS message variable. The other benefit of it is during a storage shortage, the broadcast facility won't be available to you because it can't acquire the storage to let users know. So if you have your own menus or panels that users see, you're not using the default that's applied, you can decide how you want to incorporate that variable into a message area. You can set it up to flash, blink, and highlighted color, whatever you want to do, and that way it would alert users to a storage shortage situation. And you know, again, primarily that'll stop maybe calls or initiate calls. It may stop people from disconnecting their 3270 emulators, which definitely causes more problems on the network. Let's go to slide 46, please. The messages we looked at earlier to monitor the storage thresholding situations, whether it's warning, severe, critical, or whether it's been relieved. The message definitions are shipped with log no, which means they will go to the session manager audit log, but typically when you have automation tools, they have to capture console traffic. So you would have to go in and update these sets of messages and set it to log yes if you wanted these to actually wind up going to the ZOS syslog, and then go ahead and monitor for when they're issued. And that way you can decide if you need to contact them or not. An alternative to that is there's also an inform parameter when you're defining your messages. And you may have just a set of system programmers or a set of operations staff, and they would get informed if any of these messages came out, just like a normal broadcast facility, and then they could take action. Go to slide 47, please. So when do you want to monitor for storage? So I begin here just saying both before and then after if you're going to make any configuration changes, specifically adding or updating Apple IDs or introducing new ACB ranges, if you're adding or updating start scripts, init scripts, environment scripts, et cetera, if you're adding, updating, or even deleting users, because you may be doing that in mass, and that might require storage or even reduce storage. So if you get rid of, 500 users that were not there before, you might look at your GFS usage during the peak time and see, okay, I can reduce my store limb by 50 megabytes. Adding or modifying any of the exits or exit scripts, you definitely want to look at your storage usage prior and after. If you're going to add any new of the security features or modify any of those, you're going to want to understand your storage usage before and after, and if you change any message definitions. Also, prior to applying any maintenance, whether it's for the session manager, ZOS, TCP, IP, et cetera, I would highly recommend doing a GFS usage prior to rolling out maintenance, and then once that maintenance has been rolled out, doing it afterwards and see if there's been any noticeable change. Let's go to slide 48, please. And now we'll take a look at some diagnostics. Should you have a storage short situation and need to contact IBM? Let's go to slide 49, please. What you can do for us is, if you do have to open a PMR, is let us know, one, has this ever worked? If this is just bringing up a session manager and you're running out of storage right away, that's very important for us to know. And then secondly, did it just begin? Have you not had any problems and you've been running a session manager for, you know, a year and a half, and all of a sudden you're starting to see a storage situation? That's helpful to us. Another thing that's also very important and has definitely figured in on some of the problems we've worked on is, did the session manager initialize cleanly? If you had any messages such as the 437W or 438E, the session manager came up and it had some configuration problems, those can definitely affect storage, either by us not being able to pick up an option that was going to affect how we allocated or used storage, or we didn't pick up all the options, and that also affected storage. We definitely want to know the level of ZOS you're running, and then again, changes. Did anything change with exits? The exits that you're able to assemble and compile and insert any additional logic you need yourself, if those have changed, those usually typically will issue get mains themselves. They don't free that storage over time. You could certainly run into an orphaning of storage, have an 878-8080 situation. And then any other changes to session manager, VTAM, TCP/IP, your security manager, or the operating system itself. Let's go to slide 50, please. Another thing that's happened before, and this isn't always necessarily storage, but it does figure in with the workload manager because it affects storage and CPU access, is display job command for the session manager itself, and just note workload and service class that it's allocated with. Sometimes when a session manager slowdown is seen, we have in the past seen that the service class that the session manager was given was not what was thought to be, and it was not getting the service from the operating system that it needed, and things could back up. Maybe there's a lot of VTAM is driving our receive exits, and we've got a lot of data come in to manage, but we're not being dispatched fast enough to go ahead and honor those, so the storage fills up with a lot of unanswered receives, and the application response time is slow. Let's go to slide 51. Again, these are the key commands. If you're going to contact us relating to a storage problem, if you could issue these four commands and either put it in as an attachment with an email to PMR or paste it into the text that we're going to get to us, this is going to help us get an initial start as to what we're looking at for the storage in the address space. Let's go to slide 52. And then these slides that follow are just some examples of what the output of these commands are. So here's a query storage pool showing the max amount currently allocated are now and maximum the percentage times for each of the pools. Go to slide 53. This is just a screenshot. If you are running Session Manager 3.1 and you're using the Eclipse plugin, from the System tab, which you see in the upper left corner, down at the bottom there is also a Storage tab. Within the Storage tab, you can look at the total storage, you can look at the subpools, you can look at the GFS usage, et cetera, from within the Eclipse environment. Go to slide 54. And here's the GFS usage. And the primary thing that you really want to focus here, because I'm the only one using this system, is over on the far right is the percent free. So my first submap, one, is at 94% free, and the rest of mine are 99% free. So I have no storage problem whatsoever in my session manager. But as a general monitoring point, I would say don't let any of these submaps fall below 50% free without taking some proactive action. Because as they get lower, or if they, you know, definitely if they approach zero, you are going to experience any of these symptoms we discussed earlier for stored shortages. This is also an area where we have provided certain sites modifications to these submap definitions. And this is where we've gone through the logs, we've looked at the configuration, we understand where the shortage is, and increasing the storage limit itself doesn't solve the problem. In some of those cases, we see that other storage maps are, you know, staying in the 80 to 90%, but sometimes 1 and 4, et cetera, are just 0 or 1 or 2%, no matter what we do. That may be related to dynamic menus. It may be related to certain changes being made with online administration. And in those cases, the change team really will have to look at a dump of the environment, the complete logs, and oftentimes we'll request the entire, like an ADR DSSU backup of your exit library, your, if you're using online administration, all 22 of your data sets, so that they can really get a good understanding of what is coded in the profiles or what's coded in the application definitions or ACB ranges, so that they can understand how to provide a submap change for your particular site. So this GFS usage is probably, of all of them, is your most important one that you want to issue every so often. And again, don't let, if things are going below 50%, you may want to look at increasing your store limb parameter. And if that lets those run above again, so you're back up in the 60, 70, 80%, you're fine. If you do that and it falls below, you're probably going to need to contact us to figure out how to address this, the situation. Go ahead and go to slide 55. Here's just a shot through Eclipse of the same information we just saw. Let's go to slide 56. And here, again, are your statistics for GFS. And this particular one, the one that you want to focus on the most, is the last column that says slot free but too small. And if these get to be too large, this is where it just it costs more CPU to the session manager if we are having to acquire storage through the GetMain free main service, but we can never fit the amount requested into the slot. We may have to make some changes. Let's go to slide 57. And again, this is just a shot from Eclipse of the same information. But what I also wanted just to show you here is down near the bottom, I'm on the storage tab of the system view. You can also look at performance and see the number of inputs and outputs, the number, the amount of CPU used in increments. You can actually view your audit log for the session manager through Eclipse, as well as see from the overview tab the current level of maintenance and features that are deployed. Let's go to slide 58. And here is the output of the query stats. Let's go to slide 59. And from the performance tab in Eclipse, we'll show you the same information, the statistics for the number of terminal bytes in and out, for how many bytes for the session buffers, and for miser compression. Now let's go on to slide 60. And the remaining slides here up through 61 through I think probably 82 are just some additional diagnostics, again, only for your reference. They're not specifically related to a storage short situation, but it's just a grouping of diagnostic commands that you will want to use depending on a certain type of problem. You can go to slide 61. This is just a common one. Whenever, if you do have to contact us, because there have been a number of session manager versions and releases, just make sure you do a query session manager command, and you can put that right into the problem record, and then we know when you have to speak with us the version release level of your session manager product, and that will help us primarily exclude any APARs or PTFs that we know would not apply because they would be incorporated in your level. Let's go to slide 62. This is just to show you that from the clip side, you can do the same thing from the overview tab. It will show you the environment and the features that are run. The other thing you can see here, too, from the Eclipse plugin is next to that system tab, what we're looking at the top that's highlighted, is there's a users tab that an operator can go ahead and see all the users that are currently logged on across an entire Sysplex, the Apple IDs that are currently configured in there, and the links between session manager instances. So from an operation standpoint, you can do a good deal through the Eclipse plugin, as well as issue broadcast messages. You can close and open ACBs that are stuck, etc. Go to slide 63. And this is just a summary of other tools within the session manager where you can issue commands from the system management menu, the help desk facility, which will let you look at users and their current sessions, displaying information in the Sysplex if you've deployed multiple session managers and you have connected them through the Sysplex. The DTERM command, that's a very helpful command if you have ever problems relating to your terminal attributes, RU sizes, the log mode used. It displays the CNET RU data for your terminal and all the color highlighting attributes, et cetera, everything we'd get from like a read modified from a query of the terminal characteristics. The dump command. Now, this dump command is not the MBS dump command. And this is it's documented later in one of these slides. In 3.1 of the session manager, we provided a new operand in the configuration to dump to a GDG. And what we've had is if you're a significantly large site and you issue the IBM session manager dump command, sites have indicated to us that it takes a long time. When that dump is running, no users can do anything. They all will X-system. And it's writing this as a formatted dump to the JES spool. And that can take quite a long time and actually fill the spool up. So in 3.1, good serviceability enhancement has been to allow you to take a session manager dump to a GDG. And I've done several of these, and they are very, very fast. It's basically using a Unix environment to basically clone the entire address space very quickly offline, and then it writes it out to a data set. So feel free to, in your test or QA environments, to go ahead and allocate dump GDG and take a dump of your environment, and you should see that it dumps very quickly compared to the existing dump. The DFSMS ADR DSSU dump, there's an example of JCL in there and how to dump your entire configuration, including the exit authorized libraries, if you've got your own exits. The audit message and format message services are things you can put in your scripts and panels to help debug them. They're very useful tools for just basically it's like a mini write to operator, so you can monitor the flow without having to trace a script or a panel. The ISZ VARs has been enhanced in version 3. This will show you many of the global variables for the entire session manager environment on a panel. So if there's a question of what is currently set, you have a lot of scripts that are setting variables, you can use ISZ VARs to view those quickly and see if they're what you think they are. And then if you know a specific variable, you want to know what it is, you can issue the value command. So at this time, the remainder of the slides are just details of these. I'd like to turn the session back over to Joseph.
Thank you, Bill, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And we have no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.